Good morning, everyone. I suspect this is the beginning of the live broadcast day for Free Radio Santa Cruz, broadcasting to the city of at 101.3 on the FM dial and streaming online at freakradio.org. This is the Mideast Migraines Program Weekend Edition for February 13, 2016. Some Greek oud music for you. The Middle Eastern oud is, of course, a stringed instrument upon which the European lute, get it? Lute, oud, lute, is based. And the artist says here, for as long as we can remember throughout human history, there has been the oud, and that's O-U-D, and oud players. They are performed in fields, taverns, and palaces, sometimes expressing joy and at times pain. Each oud and oud player, therefore, has inherited the music and emotion that have been passed down the millennia, like the light from a candle, which will never go out, like a beating heart made of wood. Indeed, the album is entitled Wooden Heart. The artist and producer is Modrathi T. Kontanis. Modrathi T. Kontanis. He is a Greek-American young man. And I saw him perform up in the Santa Cruz Mountains here a couple of years ago in the parlor of a good friend, a folk dancing friend of mine. Yes, I'm one of those international folk dancers that you may have witnessed or participated in the joys of. But this was just a concert. It would be nice if I had some Arabic oud music, but I don't right now, so there. I'll have to run down to Streetlight Records on Pacific Avenue sometime and see what they have in stock, assuming they still sell CDs. Okay, folks, my name is Ren Tawil, Lawrence Ren Tawil, resident of Santa Cruz County here on the central left coast of North America in California. Saturday editions of Mideast Migraines are dedicated to the readings of important recent or nearly recent, fairly recent books on the topic of Palestine and Israel and Jews and Arabs and all of that good stuff, as I always find myself saying. We're in the closing chapters of The General Son. Driving me crazy here. The book is entitled The General's Son, Journey of an Israeli in Palestine, written by Miko Peled, forward by Alice Walker. The book is available, obviously, at Amazon and hopefully through your favorite bookstore to be ordered, if not sitting on the shelf there. But the publishing company is Just World Publishing LLC at justworldbooks.com. There, I just switched to a more comfortable chair, a lot lower, so I can speak directly into the internal microphone of my home PC. Free Radio Santa Cruz is still without its own studio. We're still on the lookout. We have a number, well, more than two anyway, of prospective sites to move into. We had a studio for 15 plus years, I think, which we had to vacate late last year, last fall. And if you listen to our programs, you will have heard the spots that we put out on the air asking people to help us find a new location. More on that later, perhaps. Let's get back to the reading of The General's Son. As I was saying, the book is available, or you can go to the website radioforall.net for my archives. That's radio, the digital number for ALL.NET. Radioforall.net. My previously recorded readings of all the other chapters of this book are, or the latest one soon will be, logged there, listed in the archives for Mideast Migraines. You will also find recordings of the many other books that I've read on this program. Max Blumenthal's Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel, Anna Baltzer's Witness in Palestine, Congressman Paul Finley's They Dare to Speak Out, and Freedom Sailors, describing my sailing trip from the island of Cyprus to the port of Gaza City, Gaza Strip, and a couple of others, I think. Okay, and once more, let me read to you. As I said, I'm going to begin the closing three chapters of the final part of this book. Almost through it all here. Author Miko Peled is a peace activist who dares to say in public what many choose to deny. Miko was born in Jerusalem in 1961. Into a well-known Zionist family. His grandfather, Dr. Avraham Katznelson, was a Zionist leader and a signer of Israel's Declaration of Independence. His father, Monty Peled, was a young officer in the 1948 war and a general in the War of 1967 when Israel conquered the West Bank, Gaza, Golan Heights, and Sinai. The political became personal for Miko Peled. When on September 4, 1997, his niece, Smadar, was killed in a suicide attack in Jerusalem. He was driven by this tragedy to explore Palestine, its people, and their stories. This book illustrates his journey. Educated in Israel, Japan, and the United States, Miko is an accomplished professional martial artist. He holds a sixth-degree black belt in karate, or karate, and teaches at his dojo in Southern California. This is his first book. A couple of reminders, since I'm not in a properly equipped and padded radio studio, the sound, of course, is going to be wanting of the highest professional qualities. I'm sure I sound a little wavy, like I'm going in and out occasionally, because I do not have a proper mic boom in front of my mouth, in front of my face, and so I'm kind of all over the place in reading this into my personal PC at home in my small bedroom. This is the best studio space I can come up with in this house. So yeah, this show is being produced in my home. The wonderful thing is I'm able to produce new shows, which are only a day or two old, for free radio here. But obviously, since the shows are not live, you won't be able to call in. You wouldn't be able to call in anyway, since there is no studio phone line, which is currently active, for you to do that. If you want to communicate with me, go to this program's email address, which is MideastMadness@gmx.com. The program is called Mideast Migraines, but the address retains the old show name, MideastMadness@g as in George, M as in Michael, X as in xylophone.com. MideastMadness@gmx.com. Communicate with me that way. And thank you very much for listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Although we're without a home right now, without a unitary physical location to broadcast from, we're still in existence and we still pipe out 24/7, so long as the trees haven't fallen on power wires in the general vicinity of our radio server, our internet server, and those kinds of things do happen. But those can happen to actually any radio station, can't they? Okay, let me grab a little more hot beverage here. Ah, green tea. Does wonders for the throat. I may as well throw in some of this therapeutic throat spray here, including grapefruit. Gotta wait for 20 seconds or so, or less. Give it a chance to percolate in there. Okay. The General Sun, Journey of an Israeli in Palestine. Don't forget, you can go to radioforall.net and catch up with the previous chapters of the book, the previous readings. And here, let me look at the table of contents, because there are four parts to this book. The Early Years, A Long Way From Home, The Road to Palestine. Now we begin part four, adequately entitled for the end of the book, Hope for Peace. Part four, Hope for Peace. Chapter 14, The Next Generation. On a sunny winter morning, the view from my childhood bedroom in Moza is breathtaking. Every leaf of every tree and shrub seems delighted to feel the sun after a long, cold night. The view of a tapestry of shade. The view is a tapestry of shades from yellow-green to the deep dark of evergreen. There are flowers embedded in this composition, coral and fuchsia, and the clean blue Mediterranean sky. It's hard to look away. I am able to return to this spot only three or four times each year, and only for a few weeks at a time. When I do visit Israel-Palestine, Peled using the familiar conjunctive identity Israel/Palestine. When I do visit Israel-Palestine, I am busy meeting people and crossing over to the Palestinian side of the wall, and it feels like I am consumed with activity. But when I am there at my mother's house, the house I grew up in, I try to take in as much of the moment as possible. It's not easy leaving my life in Coronado. That's Coronado, California, down by San Diego. My karate school, my wife Gila, and our three children, even for just a few weeks. Gila is busy running her own business, an acupuncture clinic. Usually a lot of planning goes into my departure so that things continue to run smoothly. Over the years, my staff of instructors and administrators have learned that this is my reality. I live in one place, and my heart is quite often in another. And while it's true that these trips are often motivated by activist missions, I also travel because I like to visit my mother and see the rest of the family as much as possible. Although in her 80s, my mother, Zika, keeps a busy, healthy schedule. She sleeps well and exercises by swimming and taking yoga classes. The real secret to her health is her garden. the earth into which she pours her heart, and which in return yields magnificent blossoms every day of the year, even on the hottest and driest days of the Jerusalem summer. She does this by conserving water and recycling every drop so that she can give it to her plants. She's in her garden every day, first thing in the morning, digging her hands deep into the fine earth around her house. The plants and birds seem grateful. In the early hours of dawn, as the sky turns from black to purple, you can hear the birds sing their morning songs, as though praising the beauty Zika has created for them and for the rest of us to enjoy. It was my mother who instilled in me a love of children, and it's largely thanks to her that I decided to make a career out of working with them. Nothing compares to the satisfaction of engaging children. But for years, my career had unfolded far away from the conflict in Israel and Palestine. I thought it was time now to bring these two parts of my life together, to merge teaching with activism. Teaching karate to children means providing them with structure, discipline, and high expectations. When taught correctly, karate will also instill an independent spirit. Thus, another form of defiance opened up to me. I would teach Palestinian children karate, or karate. Plus, I wanted to see how Israeli control over Palestinian life had affected children. I wanted to see and interact with kids in the West Bank, in places like the Haish refugee camp, or the town of Anata, where playgrounds and parks were scarce. I wanted to hear Palestinian children, listen to them, and get an idea of how they view their lives and their future. So I looked for opportunities to teach karate in those very places. It was the summer of 2007 when my sister Nurit had actually come up with the idea for me to teach in Palestine. Wael Salameh, a good friend who we knew through Combatants for Peace, had boys who practiced at a Taekwondo club in Anata, just north of Jerusalem, and Nurit told him about me, and between them they set the whole thing up. The truth is, I had no idea what to expect. I knew for a fact that Palestinian children had a great burden to carry, far more than children should have. Fathers or brothers locked up in Israeli prisons, usually with no visitors allowed. Family members killed in the conflict. Neighbors and friends whose homes were lost to settlement activity or destroyed by the army. Not to mention irregular supplies of water and electricity, severe travel restrictions that impacted their ability to reach school every morning, night raids by Israeli soldiers who stormed their homes at all hours. And the list goes on. One could only assume that their parents and teachers, who loved and cared for them, had given them the tools to cope with their impossible and abnormal surroundings. I took Eitan, who was 13 at the time, and Doron, who was 11. These are two of the author's children, Eitan and Doron. And their cousin Yigal, who was 14, along to Anata to practice as well. When we arrived at the Taekwondo club, we received a warm welcome from Wissam, the instructor, and there were more than 50 kids all lined up and ready for practice. There were boys and girls practicing together, and they were completely comfortable with each other, which I am always happy to see. While there is a stereotype that karate is a boys' activity, girls usually really enjoy and excel at it, and I always encourage girls and women to take classes alongside boys and men. The students at the Anata Club were serious, polite, and eager to learn, all signs of a good martial arts school. Practice went on for about an hour and a half. After practice, we all relaxed for a while and talked. Eitan began chatting with one of the kids. I heard him ask, "Do you like going to the beach?" Coming from a Southern California beach town, it was a natural thing for him to wonder. The boy took Eitan to the window and showed him the separation wall being built just outside the gym where the class took place. Even though Anata is part of Jerusalem, the wall and the checkpoint prevent its residents from traveling freely. "We can't go to the beach," he said. "We are not allowed." When practice was over, we had dinner in Anata at Wael's home. And when we were done, the adults had coffee and the kids played soccer on the small balcony adjacent to the house, because there was nowhere outside for them to play. On the way home, At the Annata checkpoint, my sons noticed a Palestinian boy not much older than them being taken in by the soldiers. Doron, frightened by what he saw, asked, "What did he do?" "I am not sure," was my response. I was not able to reassure him. Jamal introduced me to a karate club in Ramallah that is run by a friend of his. I'm sorry, I'm not sure if this is a typo or word left out. I'll just read it as is. Jamal introduced me to a karate club in Ramallah that is run by a friend of his named Nidal. Okay. Nidal has been practicing and teaching for many years and has built a fine student body and a very nice traditional Japanese dojo. I have visited there several times and taught classes from Nidal, Jamal, and I always have a good time together. In the summer of 2010, I went to Nidal's karate school with Doron, and Narit came along too to watch. The class was full and it was extremely hot. As the class progressed, the heat became unbearable, and with it my thirst. I was thinking of taking Narit for a water bottle when I remembered that this was the month of Ramadan. During this month, Muslims refrained from eating or drinking from sunrise to sundown. It was about 4 in the afternoon, and the fast was not going to be broken until 7 that evening. Reminder here that the author Miko Peled is Jewish amongst predominantly Muslim Arabs, Palestinian Arabs, who are predominantly Muslim. Continuing now. I looked at Doron, and I can see his mouth was dry, too. The students did not show any signs of weakness, and they were all cheerful and completely focused on karate. Still, their faces were red, and they were hot and sweaty. So I stopped the class for a moment, and I asked them to sit down. "Min minkum sayim," I said. "Who among you is fasting?" I could see that even Nadal was surprised when they all raised their hands. "Wow, you guys are very special kids. There aren't a lot of places in the world where kids could come to karate class and work so hard in such heat without food or water. Especially water." I looked at Doron again and I saw that he knew what it meant when all the kids raised their hands. That we too were not going to drink till sundown. During class I gave the kids the same talks I do when I teach at my own karate school in the U.S., but with a little extra. Always be respectful, believe in yourself, use your head. I also mentioned the fact that I can go to Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and travel freely in this country, but they cannot. The author says here, he was speaking to the children, "This is your country, your home, and you should be allowed to travel freely as I do, as every Israeli child does. Karate teaches us to overcome insurmountable obstacles, and you will find a way out of the injustice in which you live. And do it without having to sacrifice your young lives. You will have the freedom to live, study, work, and travel anywhere you like. Just remember to believe in your abilities and don't be afraid." End of his little speech here. There is always silence when I say these things. The first time I said something like this to Palestinian kids, it was actually not a karate class. I was at Jamal's house. His older daughter mentioned that she wanted to attend dental school, and we talked about languages. I said that I thought it would be useful for her to be able to converse freely in Hebrew and English so that she could treat patients in cities around the country. And he says here, I had to step away for a brief moment, so forgive me if I am repeating anything or leaving anything out. I'm pretty sure I left off here. I said that I thought it would be useful for her to be able to converse freely in Hebrew and English so that she could treat patients in cities around the country. I know I read that sentence before. And then the author told the kids, "The occupation will not last forever and you will be able to practice in Haifa or Tel Aviv, and so Hebrew could be useful when you treat Israeli patients." End quote. She looked very surprised at my assumption that the end was in sight. Inshallah, inshallah, she said. God willing. And her mother repeated, inshallah. I do believe that Israelis and Palestinians will live free side by side one day. And even if we become two separate states, why could a Palestinian doctor not practice in Israel or vice versa? I felt this was an important thing to say in front of Palestinian children. I wanted to state with complete certainty that things will change for the better and to encourage them to believe it and to act in accordance with this belief. The overwhelming force of the Israeli army can make anyone feel hopeless. And the fact that the world does little for Palestinians can lead to a sense of helplessness. I have always thought that change will come from the bottom up. Not from any outside source, but from these children. But someone has to paint the picture. And so I do that whenever I can. In late 2010, I called my friend Mazen Faraj from the U.S. and told him that I wanted to visit Dahesh, a refugee camp near Bethlehem. Mazen was born and raised in Dahesh, and he still lives there with his family. I asked if he thought I could teach karate there. I asked if he thought I could teach karate there. Mazen did not hesitate to endorse the idea and quickly moved to make arrangements for me. Once again, I left my cozy existence in Coronado and traveled to my troubled homeland. I called Mazen again from Jerusalem, and we decided to meet by the Everest Hotel in Beit Jalal, where the Palestinian branch of the Bereaved Families Forum has their office. It was a sunny December afternoon, and I sat out on the balcony waiting for Mazen. The office is located on a hill, and so I had a full view of the occupation. Israeli military vehicles, and, stand by, I'm going. I have the same problem I had a few weeks ago with the waveform on the recording program frozen, even though the ticker is continuing. So I'm inclined to believe that the entire program is being recorded. Let me try something here. Okay, not being fully acquainted with all the ins and outs of this edit program, I'm going to submit this program in at least two sections because I don't want to mess things up here. I don't want to take the chance of accidentally wiping clean everything I recorded to this in this program. As far as I'm concerned, that might still happen if I don't do this just right. Listener, you should not be affected other than these sorry explanatory notes here. Let me stop the program, and then I'll continue on the flip side. Ending part one now.